Our text for this morning is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And the first thing we're going to consider is that as Christians, we are exiles. Verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. As God's people, we are exiles. We're strangers in this world. We're pilgrims passing through this world. We're exiles. This world isn't our home. We're only passing through on our way to our true home, our eternal home with God. But we're not just exiles. We're more than that. We're elect exiles. Let me read verse 1 again. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God, in his infinite mercy and grace, has elected us. He's chosen to save us. And as a result of this, he has made us exiles in this world. Because before he saved us, we weren't exiles. This world was our home. This is where we wanted to be. And we had no desire for an eternal home with God. But when God saved us by his sovereign, gracious choice, he gave us a new home. And all of a sudden, we went from being right at home here in this world to being exiles in this world. We are elect exiles. God has chosen to save us, and he has given us a new home, an eternal home with him. And therefore, he has made us exiles in this world. This world isn't our home. It used to be, but it's not anymore. We're only passing through. We're strangers here, sojourners. We're pilgrims who are only passing through on our way to our eternal home with God. Now, the text also tells us that as elect exiles, we were foreknown by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, and sprinkled by the Son. All three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are involved in the work of salvation. Verse 2 says, we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. First, let's consider how we were foreknown by the Father. God the Father chose to know us before the creation of the world. He chose to save us from eternity past. He chose to love us before he even made us. This foreknowledge isn't about God knowing stuff in advance, which he does. He knows everything. The kind of knowledge that's being spoken of here is an intimate knowledge. It's to know a person. It's about relationship. It's about love. God chose to love us with a saving love from eternity past. He knew us before he even made us. He didn't just know about us, he chose to know us intimately, relationally. God foreknew us. He foreloved us. He knew us intimately and he loved us deeply before he even made us. He chose to save us before the creation of the world. Ephesians 1, 4-6 says, for God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In love, God predestined us. He chose us to be adopted into his family, to be his sons and daughters. How wonderful is it to be sons and daughters of the Father who made the universe and everything in it. The Father who was infinitely great, and the Father who was infinitely good. The Father who knew us before he even made us. The Father who loved us before the creation of the world. We are elect exiles who were foreknown by the Father. Now let's consider how we were sanctified by the Spirit. Let me read verse 2 again. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Now the Bible talks about sanctification in two ways, positional and progressive. When we became a Christian by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save us, this happened because the Holy Spirit regenerated us. He caused us to be born again, and he gave us the ability to believe. And we did. And God the Spirit sanctified us. He set us apart as holy to God. This is positional sanctification. It's a one-time thing, the same as regeneration. We were sanctified, but we're also continually being sanctified by the Holy Spirit who lives in us. He's continually at work in us, making us more and more holy as we grow as Christians. This is progressive sanctification. Now, because of the context, I think Peter's talking about positional sanctification. He's talking about our election and salvation. And right after talking about how we were sanctified by the Spirit, he refers to the atonement, how we were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. He caused us to be born again. He gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. He removed our spiritual blindness and deafness. He gave us the ability to repent and believe the gospel. And so we put our trust in Jesus and received salvation. And the Holy Spirit sanctified us. He set us apart as holy to God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11 says, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We were sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Our lives are no longer our own. They're God's. The Holy Spirit set us apart as holy to God. So we need to live for him. We need to say no to sin and say yes to God every day. We need to live holy lives because we've been set apart as holy to God. We are elect exiles who were sanctified by the Spirit. Now let's consider how we were sprinkled by the Son. Let me read verse 2 again. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. When we put our trust in Jesus, our sins were washed away by his blood. We were sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. Atonement has been made. Our sins have been paid for in full. Forgiven. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We are completely forgiven through the blood of Jesus, through his atoning death in our place. William Cowper was a famous poet and hymn writer in the 18th century. He also struggled with mental illness and even tried to commit suicide several times. But he penned these beautiful words. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. They're quite gruesome words to someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, being plunged into a fountain filled with blood. But to those who do know him, they're beautiful words, because they describe how the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all our sins. They've been washed away. All guilt has been removed. So now we stand before God as not guilty because of the blood of Jesus, because of his atoning death in our place. We are elect exiles who were sprinkled by the Son. But the text doesn't just say we've been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. It also says we're to obey Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't just save us and then that's it. He saves us and tells us to follow him. He calls us to obey him as our Lord. Jesus says this to us in Luke 9:23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus says, if we want him to save us, if we want to be his followers, if we want him, then we must die to ourselves every day and be alive to him every day. You see, Jesus has very high standards for his followers. He's not interested in people who want to follow him half-heartedly. He's not interested in people who want to have one foot in him and one foot in the world. It's all or nothing with Jesus. And if we truly know him, then we've decided it's all. I'm all in. I want to follow him wholeheartedly. Because he gave his life for me. He poured out his blood for me so my sins could be washed away. And he's more valuable and precious to me than anything in this world. So I'll follow him until he returns or calls me home in death, because I want to be with him forever. If we truly know Jesus, then we are elect exiles who were foreknown by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, and sprinkled by the Son. The triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, saved us. God chose to save us before the creation of the world. And in doing this, he made us exiles in this world. We're elect exiles by the sovereign grace of God. This world is no longer our home. It used to be, but it's not anymore. Heaven is our home, our eternal home with God. We're pilgrims who are only passing through this world on our way to our eternal home with God. So as elect exiles, how should we live in this world? We don't live for this world. We live for the world to come. You may have heard the saying, home is where the heart is. Where's our heart? Is it set on this life, or is it set on the life to come? If this world is our home, then our heart will be set on this life. We'll be living for the here and now. But if this world isn't our home, then our heart will be set on what is our home, eternal life with God. And we'll be living for the life to come. As elect exiles, this world isn't our home. We're pilgrims who are only passing through this world on our way to heaven, our eternal home with the God who saved us. So by God's grace and in His power, let's set our hearts on our eternal home and live for the life to come.